quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Kaitsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolla First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and we are celebrating Earth Month this week on Typically Tuesdays. Hopefully you can hear a little bit about what is happening in the background right now. Hopefully my voice is not just dominating the entire recording. But today I'm taking you on a small walk at a local park, and we're going to be listening to some music. We're going to be talking a bit about awareness around sustainability and eco-justice. And very excitedly, I just saw a hummingbird. I think I saw an Anna's hummingbird in the tree in front of me, obviously. If I'm going to be out in nature, ooh, I think that's it again there. Obviously, I'm going to be bird watching, as well as enjoying the beauty of the plants and the bugs and the grasses and all of the other little creatures around me. Ooh, I think that's a bush tit. No, that's a black cap chickadee. I'm not wearing my glasses. Anyways, let's get on with the show. On the playlist today, music about nature. Not exactly, though. As is with Typically Tuesday's fashion, we try to go for the as best as we can. And so you're going to hear tracks that are incredibly shallow, that kind of mention nature, such as a J-pop anime idol group called Printemps, which means spring in French, of course. It's as shallow as that, and it's also as deep as something generally more connected to questions and issues around the land. Ooh, big crow. Such as a Black Belt Eagle Scout, who we'll be hearing from later on this hour, and also from Kemi Day, who is an artist and musician from Argentina. They put out quite a few albums that have to do with nature. Their most recent album, released in 2024, called Echoes of a Little Natural Journey, follows this story of small creatures roaming around somewhere. But their debut album from 2023 is called Music for Bugs, and we're going to be playing a track right off of that. Here is Spiny Spider by Kemi Day, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. In the environmental movement, no single figure stands taller than Rachel Carson. Her work on DDT helped spark an environmental awakening in the 1960s. Some consider Rachel Carson the finest nature writer of the 20th century. In addition to Silent Spring, books such as The Sea Around Us and Under the Sea Wind are evidence of her exquisite literary talent. Carson herself had inspiration from a 19th century writer named Richard Jefferies. His prose poems, like The Pageant of Summer, reveal a profound immersion in nature and a joyful sense of discovery. His work helped Carson develop and write about her own deep sense of connection with the natural world. Here's Jefferies on Summer. Every blade of grass, each leaf, each separate floret and petal is an inscription speaking of hope. Consider the grasses and the oaks, the swallows, the sweet blue butterfly. They are one and all a sign and token, showing before our eyes earth made into life. So that my hope becomes as broad as the horizon afar, reiterated by every leaf, sung on every bough, reflected in the gleam of every flower. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Chinese American Bear with All the People. Before that, you heard Nobody by Black Belt Eagle Scout. I'm Leslie, and I have finally arrived at a local park. I am here today at Lakeburn Lagoon, recording on my phone as though I am a wild person. But thank God people are doing voice notes more these days and don't look totally out of place. One of the issues about bringing you out to the park today and also putting together a show is that, of course, I want to do this, you know, like kind of like in actuality while it's happening, right? And it's a great day to be doing that. Let me describe some of the conditions that we are in today. It is Saturday, April, I want to say 16th, late morning, and it is partly cloudy. The sun is shining very, very bright on the lagoon, and all around me is green from the shrubs and trees out here. It is green because of the view of a local mountain. It is blue because of the wide open sky. And it's awesome. There are not a whole lot of people out here quite yet. These are ideal, one, birding conditions, two, community radio recording conditions. Part of the issue about doing this recording today and bringing you out here with me to the lagoon is that me being a birder, let this plane pass, hold on. Part of the issue here is that every time I go to pick up my phone to try to record something, I end up getting distracted because bird. And there's that bird that I wanted to know. I feel like maybe it's a widgeon. Maybe. There's something within me that feels... Whoa. That's a geese. That's a Canadian geese. A Canadian geese just flew right above me. It did like a quick turn and landed with a splash right on the lagoon. That was so graceful and so cool. But yeah, again, one of the issues about recording this episode at a park as a birder is that I'm getting very, very distracted and I'm just trying to identify birds and look at them. And it is a great day for birds. Can you hear them? Hopefully you kind of can. Let me talk a little bit about the birds that I've seen so far today. Here on my trip, I saw an American robin. I've seen some European starlings, which actually are an invasive species here in Vancouver, but we support birds here on Typically Tuesdays. We do not support the colonizers that brought them here and left them here for them to fend for themselves and for them to be hated on by anti-starling people. We have here out on the lagoon, mallards, of course, Canadian geese, of course. I wonder if you can hear the mallards right now. And I spotted some American widgeons. I'm pretty sure I'm seeing some greater scalps just right out here on the water, in the bushes and the trees around me. I think I saw a cedar waxwing. I really want to hope and say that I saw a cedar waxwing. I think I might have misidentified a bird. And then American crows, obviously. But also a bird that I have never seen before. And oh, that was beautiful. Also I saw black-capped chickadees, also super common, love those little critters, and bush tits. I saw bush tits. But one of the birds that I saw right out here in the trees, right by the lagoon, is one that I've never seen before, and I believe it was a yellow-rumped warbler. According to Merlin Sound ID, that's what it was. When I looked at the photos on Merlin, on the Merlin Birding app, that's what it appeared to be. I know there are certain, many of the warblers of the yellow variety are very difficult to distinguish from one another. But I want to say, regardless of which specific type of warbler it was, I'm just excited to have been able to see quite a few out here, because I don't think I've ever actually been able to see or really identify any warbler at all, at least consciously. Let's see what else we got here. I think that's a widgeon. Oh, also tree swallows, of course. Oftentimes, right around a body of water, a small body of water, where there are lower trees and dense bushes, you will often also find tree swallows hanging out just around the water, just around the trees as well. And those were a delight to see today. You know, one of the questions I wanted to pose to you, listener, as I'm enjoying my time here out in nature, what is your first memory of becoming kind of conscious about your relationship with the earth and your relationship with the land? I think I sort of remember mine. I had always loved animals as a child. I was definitely one of those kids, and I think this is pretty common, right? But I was one of those children who, like, loved dinosaurs and loved nature. A lot of the books that I was reading, the television shows I was watching, all had something to do with some aspect of animals. I grew up on Zaboomafu and the nature of things, crafts, creatures, and just in general, like a lot of like children's media, just features animals, right? I spent the first quite a few years of my life thinking that I would become either a zoologist or a paleontologist. But around the time when I entered kindergarten, there was a really big shift in consciousness. Mallard. And I don't know if I don't know to what degree it was good or bad, because it instilled in me, you know, a sense of responsibility to do what I can to protect the earth. So what had happened was, this was around the time that I was learning to read English. I was learning to read in general, but also around the time when my mother was learning in English. And one of the things that we would do together is she would read me picture books. I loved all kinds of picture books, but there was just this one, and I think it was the very first one that we borrowed from the elementary school library. I don't remember what the book is called now, but it was all about Mother Earth. It was all about what we owe. Oh, Song Sparrow. What we owe to the Earth. And it was the first time that I had ever heard the... It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. Did you share that song, Sparrow? Let's see if it'll sing for us again. Beautiful. It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. And it was all about, essentially, how... the earth is like perfect and beautiful, and human activity is creating devastation towards all life on earth. It focused mainly on plants and animals. I think mostly on animals, actually. But it was an eye-opener, and it made me very, very conscious about my relationship to this world, what I could be doing to help continue to sustain it. And at the same time, this is no fault of my mom's. She just saw the animals and thought that I would like it. She just saw the animals on the cover and thought that I would like it. But it also instilled in me a deep existential dread and pain that I've been having to navigate and deal with for the past, you know, many decades that I have been a living, breathing human being. But possibly you could say, you know, you could argue in some sense that it was for a good cause. So that's kind of like my first memory of really being conscious of my relationship to this planet and to the land and this world. I wonder what yours was. You can share it with me if you want, typically Tuesdays at gmail.com. Please send me birthday.